God's Miracle Church. Father, we do thank you for this great work. We thank you for your awesome leadership that you are raising up here. We thank you for the anointing that is on these ministers. Father, we do come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the anointing on my life. Now speak through my lips of clay with the spirit of accuracy, excellence, and boldness, that the word will go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces. Let me die to myself and let God be glorified. Father, we pray for signs, wonders, and miracles, that they be confirmed in the word today. You may be seated. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. God is bigger than your battle. Can anybody agree with that? We all have battles, but God is bigger than your battle. I'm going to say something to you, and you know, when I was in school, if a professor wanted you to remember something, he'd have you say it three times. Fresh oil from God on high, laced with his anointing. Fresh oil from God on high, laced with his anointing, not my anointing. His anointing. I'm going to say that one more time. Fresh oil from God on high, laced with his anointing. Today, I would like to talk about the anointing, the power of the anointing. Not my power. Again, we're talking about God's power. As you saw that young lady dance, that was God's power. That was the anointing that fell upon her, enabling her after a tragic accident that could have meant death. But God said, not so. He protected her. He was her shield and her buckler. He didn't let anything harm her. And if you notice, she danced as an angel. Pastor Tony, you know, me and you, we like those angels. And they always come right on time. They're never late. They can stop you from a fall, or they can lower you easily down to the ground. I've had it to happen to me. The power of the anointing of God will enable you to do impossible things. The word Christ means anointed one and his anointing. Christ, Christos in Greek, and Messiah in Hebrew. The oil, the anointing oil, the word anointing means to smear or to rub the oil. In the Old Testament, all God's chosen servants, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. The anointed oil was important because it consecrated and empowered these servants of God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul describes the necessity of viewing the body as a living sacrifice to God, set aside wholly for the worship of God and no longer for the ways of the world. We're in this world, but really we're not of it, and we're only passing through. So where you live, don't get comfortable, because you're not going to be there long. Because time is surely running out. The act of pouring oil over a person's head or entering the body was performed as a religious ceremony, and it was used for grooming. If you can remember, when I was ordained, Pastor Linda came and she put this oil on my hand. And she prayed for me, but she prayed a profound prayer. I didn't realize how profound it was till I went home and I tried to get some sleep. Could not sleep all night long praying in the spirit. I said, what in the world did that lady do to me? And I'm telling you, it was such a strong prayer. I could hardly stand. I could feel my body wavering. But I said, no, I'm not going to fall because I don't have a catcher. I know angels will lower me, but when I fall hard. So I didn't want to do that. So, but I just want to say, Pastor Linda, keep praying the way that you pray. It's needed in the body. It's needed individually. And I certainly felt it. Couldn't get any sleep. But it was a wonderful prayer. We see this in Ruth 3:3. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. It says, how many of us would like to have a Boaz? Miss Lottie, you with me, right? Okay, Miss Lottie got me. And we'd like to have a Boaz, a true man of God, one that has been anointed by God and loves the Lord. That truly in his heart of all hearts loves the Lord. We as women of God need to anoint ourselves daily and consecrate ourselves and put on your best garment. When you come out, if anybody is looking at you, they might not want to see you in a, you know, looking kind of any kind of way. When a lady steps out, she got to step out. All right, Matthew 6, 16, 17. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance or disfigure your face, that they may appear to man to be fasting. You don't want to let anybody know that you're fasting. Always wash your face and keep your countenance, because nobody has to know that, because that's a thing between you and God. And you definitely want to do that in your consecration time. Go ahead and anoint yourself and put your oil on and go out into wherever you're going. Luke 10:34. Here we see oil used for medicinal purposes. And when to him, he bandages his wounds and he poured oil and wine, and he set himself on his own animal and brought him into the inn. Okay, so what does it mean to be anointed by Christ? While it is true that in the Old Testament there were people such as Moses, Daniel, and Samson who had an unusual calling and a special presence of God, and a particular set of abilities and capabilities, something for God's glory, it was not the person who was important, it was God. Amen. God can and will use you if you let him. Amen. Now that's real important. We have to let him. Sometimes we have to yield. You know, just like Colin was saying, that the voice said stop, but he kept going. Yeah. But maybe if he had yielded and listened to the voice and stopped, he may have not destroyed the car as bad. Sometimes he'll do that. He'll tell us things, but we won't listen. We really must open our ears, our hearts, our minds, and be receptive to what God has for you. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both to Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, even to the remote parts of the earth. Now, I want to stop there because I want to tell you about something that happened to me right here in God's Miracle Church. You know, this is a place where miracles just happen. It's a really wonderful place for people to be if you want to receive a miracle, or you're in a position where you need a miracle, it happens right here. One Sunday after church, Pastor Mike came to me and said, Minister, I want to pray with you. I said, all right, you know. know, I like prayer. Nothing wrong with prayer. I'm for that. Give it to me. So then Pastor Tony said, what y'all talking about? I said, we're talking about prayer. You want to pray too? He said, yeah, come on. So he came over. Pastor Mike came over. And I'm telling you, you don't want to put them two forces together. Leave that alone. Leave them disconnected. Because you put those two together, you asking for trouble. Nothing but trouble. So they said, we're going to lay hands on you. I said, all right, I'm for that. And I believe that Elder Sandy stayed. And nobody was in the sanctuary but the two of us. And I think the two of you were leaving. Y'all were on your way out. So I said, I wonder what they're going to do. I said, they want to pray for me. I wonder what they're going to do. So they put their hands on me. And I'm telling you, I have never felt such a power surge. It felt like electricity going through my body. I didn't even know how to handle it. All I could do was do like this. I was trying to shield myself because it was coming so fast. It was like a ball, a huge ball coming to me. And I kept backing up. And I ended up in pastor's chair. They said, what you doing? I said, I don't know. I said, I am totally out of it. I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing now. But I'm just telling you, the power of prayer and the power of the anointing, when you put those together, you have a force to be reckoned with. Let us look at David. There were three times that David was anointed in the Bible. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, here's something interesting. You know, I'm always, I guess, dissecting the Bible, pulling it apart and saying, I wonder if David would have been able to slay that giant without Samuel anointing him. My guess would be probably not. And that's why God had to send Samuel to Jesse's house. See, sometimes he will send you people and you'll wonder, what are they in my life for? But he will send you certain people in your life and it will make a world of difference to you. You know, if you would receive those people into your life, and they're not just there by happenstance. They're not. Your husbands and wives, God hooked you up. Although you may not be the same in thought and mind, but guess what? You're a balance for each other. You balance each other. And that's a good thing. Because of the power of the anointing that David received in his own home, we see that Samuel anointed David, and then he was able to slay the giant. How many of us have giants in our lives? Let's think about it. Financial giants. Sickness in our physical body, that's a giant. Being homeless, and I've experienced that, that's a real giant. You almost think I'll never be able to get myself together. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Keep pushing. Keep on pushing. And God will make a way out of no way. A job, a new job. Maybe you okay with your job, but you might need just a little more money. God can do that too. He can do that. And it doesn't always have to be that you're working harder. You may receive a raise. You may be able to pay off something. God will make a way. God can and he will anoint you to come against any giants in your life. Just as he anointed David to take Goliath's head completely off of his body. Now, there was another thing I couldn't understand. He's 15 years old. 15, and the giant is, he probably can't even see his head. Even if he looked up, he's probably saying, where's your head? But God had him to use a mere slingshot. Now, really? I'd be saying, I probably need a machine gun to take this guy down. You know, what would a slingshot do? Think about it in your mind. It's such a small thing. But he took that slingshot and he picked up 5 stones out of the brook. Why 5? Why did he need 5? It was only 1 giant. Because Goliath had some brothers. He said, uh-oh, I better have enough enough rocks in my hand so that if those brothers came, I can take them out too. Oh, he thought he was bad, won't he? All right, so he went on and he decided, not only am I going to knock this giant down, I'm going to take his head off. Now, to me, that was a little crazy. If I had knocked him down, that's all right. I did my job. See y'all. You know, because I'd be scared he's going to rise up again. But I guess that's why he had to take the head off. He had to make sure we're not coming against this anymore. Thinking about your finances, how can you do something different that would allow you not to be in the same situation? See, you keep repeating the same things. That's why things keep happening. You have to change those things. You have to pray. You have to believe God. And you're going to have to learn to discipline yourself. You got to discipline yourself. Okay, you might like to go to McDonald's every day. Well, okay, McDonald's is like going to a major restaurant now. When I went in there and they told, what? I said, what? What you mean a burger costs this now? I said, oh, I can't go to McDonald's every day. I can't do it because I can't afford it. And I said, uh-uh. I said, maybe once a week we might get a little burger and, you know, we'll call it a day. But, you know, you have to learn to discipline your finances. And it's important. Why? Because we need to pour more into the kingdom. But if we don't have it, we can't pour it. And we need to be able to fund the kingdom of God. He was anointed by Samuel to slay Goliath. Number 2, 2 Samuel 2 and 4, he was anointed 3 times in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to get to. And 2 Samuel 2 and 4, David was anointed by the king, by Judah. And 2 Samuel 5 and 3, David was anointed as the king over Israel. But for me, the ultimate anointing was in Acts 5, 15, 6, where we see Peter's shadow being able to heal people. Can you imagine walking past somebody, not saying one word, and just your very shadow, oh my God, can heal somebody. You don't even know they're sick. You don't have a clue. You're just walking along. All of a sudden, they say, oh, praise God, I'm healed. I really desire that kind of anointing. But it takes fasting. It takes praying. You have to stay in the Word. Every available moment has to go towards God. And this was truly amazing, to walk past someone and people were healed. In Acts 19, 11, 12, we see Paul as a minister in Ephesus. In Acts 9, 11, God did extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Acts 9, 12, so that even a handkerchief or an apron that had touched him was taken to the sick, and the disease and evil spirits left them. Can you imagine? You just rip off your sleeve and say, okay, be healed. All right, what's wrong with you? Okay, well, here, take this home, and you can be healed. To me, that's pretty profound, you know, to be able to have that type of anointing, that God trusts you that much with his anointing. The early churches in the Bible was a time of profound growth and the apostolic miracles. We serve the same God today. If he did it then, he'll do it again. He's the same God. We didn't stop serving him. But how are we serving him? How are we serving him? Are we really moving forward in our talents? Are we giving him our best? Are we, some of you here have talents and haven't moved forward. You've been sitting in the same seat. Come on. It's time. It's time now that we all use our gifts and our talents. Jesus is the glory of God in the flesh. The presence is to know him. The presence of God is his glory. The anointing is the overflow of his life, of the life of Christ. The power we feel, this is the presence of his glory. Moses said in Exodus 33:18, show me your glory. Show it to me. Let me see it. You know, a lot of times when I'm talking to God, I say, God, show me. Show me, where can I find this in the word? I know it's in there, but you got to show me, because I continue to learn. And that's another thing. Continue to be a sponge. Continue to learn. Continue to search your scripture. Don't put your Bible on the coffee table and let it grow dust. Don't do that. Open it up. Use it. It's your sword. Use it. Use it for every situation, every circumstance. Even when you're cooking for your husband and you want to cook a really good dinner, go in there and pray. And he will tell you exactly what to cook. Won't he, Sister Sharon? Sister Sharon? I know it. I know it. Yeah, uh-huh. He like meatloaf. Because that's what you be cooking. I know. I know, because Sister Sharon said, I got to go home and cook meatloaf. So that's when I know, okay, she done heard from God. She know what he want. He is with you before salvation to convict you of the sins, to bring you into the kingdom. He is in you to save you. He will be on you to use you, the anointing in your life. I'm coming to the end. How can you enter into the anointing? How is it that anybody that wants to be anointed of God, what will be my first step? You know, I always ask them, I said, God, how can I be anointed to sing, to pray for people, to talk with people? Because I don't want to say just anything. I really don't want to just say anything. And if I do say it, then I need to pray about it. Right, Pastor Mike? Pastor Mike said, if you say it, you got to pray about it. So I know that to be true. So you want to praise and worship is very important. It's when you are seeking the anointing. The true worshiper will get caught up in his presence. You notice that your dancer, she got caught up. After she finished dancing, boy, the power of God just dropped on her. She couldn't even hardly stand because of the anointing and that power that comes along with getting caught up. And if you've noticed Angelica, when she sings, she'll be over here, she's singing good and everything, and all of a sudden, she just stopped. You'll be saying, oh, what happened? But it's the presence of God that won't allow you to go any further. It just wants you to bask in his presence. And then we think about Pastor Tony. When he get up here and he get to singing and singing, we be saying, when are you going to preach? He said, I ain't finished. Because I'm in his presence. And I like it here. When you like it, you stay there. If you're in his presence. And also, Pastor Rick, oh, you didn't think I was going to forget about you. I didn't, Pastor Rick. Now, I'm going to tell you about Pastor Rick. One Sunday, Pastor Rick ran in the church. I know everybody said, uh-oh, he's gone. He done lost it now. But you know what? He was under the very power of God. See, that's how the power manifests. And Pastor Mike, when he reacts, he cries. He's up here just boo-hoo crying. What are they crying for? What is all that? But you know why? Because of the very presence of God. When it lands upon you, each person has a different way to reacting to the anointing and the power. The presence is in you, but the power is on you. And the power is the sole source. When you dance, when you run, when you shout, it just brings your whole body alive. Even Shishi, when she get up here, she here. I said, well, what we doing? Ping pong ball. But you know why? She can't keep still. And when that power hits you, you can't keep still. You get up, you're clapping, you're shouting, you're dancing, you're moving, and you're wondering, what is wrong with me? Because the first time that happened, that's okay, God, let's look conservative. Let's not do that. Let's just sit here and be quiet. But I couldn't do it. I could not do it. So my beginning scripture was Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost ends of the earth. And I end with that. At this time, I would like to, if there is anyone that would like to join the church, we know that Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, you are saved. But your act of that is saying, God, I want to walk to you. I want to come to you. I want to change the way that I was, and I desire to be a new creature in Christ. And he will wash those old things away and make you brand new. I'm telling you, when I first received the Spirit of God and received him, I had everything to me look so bright. It was dull before. But I mean, the sun was so bright, it was like blinding me. I said, what in the world? But that was because that's what God needed to do for me. If there is no one to receive Christ, then is there anyone that needs to pray over that financial giant, the new job, being homeless, sickness in your physical body? If there is anyone, you may now come to the altar. And don't make me call you, because I will. Come on up here, Colin. You knew, because he told you, but you always say, that ain't you, God. That's not you. I ain't listening.